That's what we learned last week. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bidvaray. We're up to page, Rabbi Yisai, we're up to page 320. Page 320, we learned yesterday, last week. Rabbi Yisai, please, we learned last week Rashi. We learned Rashi, Tzidkoscha, Kaharekel, Mishpatecha Toim Rabbah, Adam Uveba Toshi Hashem. So we learned yesterday, last week, Rashi, we spent a lot of time discussing, is this possibly a continuation of the Rishoim? The wicked people in this world, not only are they evil, not only do they themselves destroy themselves, it's because of them everyone suffers. When there are wicked people in society, it's because of them Hashem prevents His righteousness, His kindness, His emunah, which means in this context the fulfillment of the reward for having emunah in Hashem, from coming down into this world. It's locked up. It remains locked in storage in the highest heavens, and it does not descend to this world. Hashem, b'hashamayim chastecha. You keep your kindness locked up in heaven. Emunascha ad shechakim. It does not descend lower than the heavens. Tzidkoscha kahare el. And your tzidkoscha, according to tzidkoscha, is Yikara, the way Rashi learns, Yikara min habriyos. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve your tzidkoscha. It's like a mighty mountain. Just like a mighty mountain, it's impossible for a human being to ascend. Miyale b'har Hashem miyokum b'mkoyim kotsho. A mighty mountain, it's too high for man to conquer. That is what has become of your tzedek. It is not attainable. It is yakar. Yakar here, according to Rashi, means it's unattainable. Why? Because we have living amongst us wicked people. And in there, because of them, we are denied bracha. Mishpatecha, Tochaim Rabbah. And because of the wicked, because of them, Hashem punishes us. Hashem brings upon this world mishpat, and this mishpat descends to the furthest corner of the world. Adam v'hema toshi Hashem, and then Adam v'shem na b'nei Adam. So Rashi said a drush, but okay. Adam v'hema toshi Hashem. What does this really mean according to Rashi? If you learn this pasuk along the dark side, you know, like, as I use these terms, sometimes you learn a mahalich I call it a dark mahalich, which means that it's not pleasant, and sometimes you take the same exact pasuk and you learn it in an uplifting way. Rashi learns the pasuk dark, but he does not follow through. At the end of the pasuk, he deviates from pshat, and he goes really into I think really is drush. He's doing bnei adam. This is the chazal, people who are humble, people who are truly brilliant, adam, but make themselves humble. Toshia Hashem, is that the pshat according to Rashi's mahalich? The mahalich here is because of the wicked people, Hashem is punishing the world. He is denying the world from blessing. The tzedek is unattainable. Hashem is judging man, the mishpatecha, and then it concludes with an expression that's not so clear. What does it say over here in the Targum? Tzidkoscha Rama. Heach turaya, sakifaya, dinoch amikin is deep. Heich tehoima, like the tehoim. Rabba b'nei nosha. What does that mean? Great are people. B'nei nosha means the man. The b'nei nosha, the ksuba, it says that the girl brings in b'nei nosha from her home. She brings it from her father's home. Yeah. What's the problem?
And you just said, yeah.
No. The pasuk ends Tohim Rabba, period. The last expression sticks out. It doesn't really fit in well. The last expression of the pasuk is Tzidkoscha Kahare Ke'el, Mishpatecha Tohim Rabba, period. What does that mean? Right. At this moment, we're learning the dark side, the dark approach. The dark approach is, the whole mizmor until now is discussing wicked people. wicked people are very evil, don't underestimate their evil and their wickedness. Don't. Someone who has a track record of being wicked is wicked. If he looks like a duck, he walks like a duck, and talks like a duck, he's a terrorist.
Can I tell you how he translates?
Yes.
He says, people who are as astute as Adam, but...
Adam, the first man.
But who make themselves as humble as beasts.
Beasts. That's animals. Toshia Hashem will save.
And it's Rashi from Kulin 5b.
Yes, so we learned that. We learned this. We read the Rashi. So Pashem Shad, I guess you have to say, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save the tzaddikim, humble people from the wicked. The wicked people are out there lurking in the background. They're waiting to prey upon, to attack, and to take advantage of the vulnerable. That's the entire theme of this mizmar. And because of the wicked people, the world is in a lot of trouble. Hashem is denying the world from blessing. How will man survive? So it would seem that according to Rashi, the only way man can survive in living in such a generation where there are so many wicked people who are destroying the world is humility. Adam, a man who is cunning, clever, brilliant, like Adam, the first man, Adam HaRishon, but humbles himself, doesn't brag, and he makes himself like an animal. An animal doesn't know from nothing. Those type of people Hashem will save from who? So I'm suggesting the context of the entire parak is the wicked. Hashem will save, Toshia Hashem, Hashem will save from who? From the wicked people who are trying to get them. Because that's what the whole mizmor is all about.
Or not being caught up in that
judgment. Or not getting caught up in Hashem's derech of bringing to the world churban. Mishpotecha tohoim rabba. Hashem is angry. Hashem is judging the world, and there's no one that will escape. Hashem's mishpat descends to the lowest corner of this world. You cannot escape. You cannot hide. Yet, if you want an antidote, you want to survive in this world, when we're living amongst these evildoers, if you're humble, that's the tool you will gain, the zechus for survival. People who have all the milos that a person can have, but don't wear it on their sleeve. Toshia Hashem. Those people will survive.
It's a different kind of
Arum, you're saying Arum is naked. A man who is Arum Midas.
Who needs Yeshua?
But Adam HaRishon, but he says, look what Rashi says. B'nei Adam shehem arumim bedas ki Adam HaRishon.
So Adam HaRishon was smart?
It has to be. He was the Yetzir Kapov. He was the Yetzir Kav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's creation. You can't say that, although he was the spitz of perfection. You're saying a different idea. You want to say that Arumim Bidas, you want to say that maybe Adam, you want to say that Adam was Chayte. Arumim Bidas is not necessarily a compliment. It means you're an evil, you're a shrew devil. You're a shrew devil. So Adam HaRishon thought he can outsmart Hashem. Outsmart Hashem how? By eating from the Eitz Hadas. So Rav Kalman, you want to say that over here, what Rashi means, someone over here is Arumim Midas. He's shrewd. In other words, it's not a compliment. It's an insult. But how are you going to learn Toshia Hashem then? Why? Because he tried to outsmart Hashem. And then he says, what do you want from me? The Nochosh gave me tea from the Eitz Hadas. Don't blame me. Sometimes a person, he pleads insanity. And a person does the worst possible crime, the worst crime, and it's premeditated. He plans and manipulates exactly what he's going to do, and then when he gets caught, I didn't do anything. It was an accident. I didn't do anything. I was just following orders. Don't blame me. I was like an animal. You have an animal. You go take it out and give the animal a stick. You give it a zest. So the animal goes, I'm like an animal. A person, or Ruben B'dash Al-Kamu wants to say that a person that is shrewd, a devil. He's a shrewd devil. What does it mean naked? Arum doesn't only mean naked. Vayu shneyem erumim. Arum, erumim, naked. But the word arum, usually the... even. Vahanochosh hoya arum. So what does it mean? It's the same word, the same letters. It's the same letters, but you know, maybe it's like what we always say, it's the 180 degree rule. Yishrash yisharesh. Arum means naked, zero. But you manipulate the vowels, arum means clever, genius, total brilliant. But yet, the word arumim bidas, Rav Kalman is 100% right, it doesn't have a positive connotation. It usually means a shrewdness that you can manipulate people, you can get away with something. Isn't that what it normally means? A shrewdness. Like, I will go and manipulate all of the events in order that I will walk away, I will come away with something, and you people don't even realize what just happened. That's an evil word. And then when you get caught, I didn't do anything. I was just following orders. I was like an animal. Isn't that what Adam HaRishon did? Adam HaRishon, Vayar, the Adam saw ki toiv lamare v'nechbad lahaskil. It says in the past, when Adam saw from the pre-Eitz Hadas, this is delicious. Toiv lamare v'nechbad lasechel, he saw something about it. But Hashem told you not to eat it. Hashem told you not. So what did he do? He made all these excuses. All of these excuses. And then when he finally got caught, what did he say? Ho'isha, Asher Nasatli, I was just following orders. It's not my fault. I'm like an animal. I was just like, you take a stick and you give an animal a zetz, the animal goes. So what do you want? I'm just an animal. My wife told me what to do. I'm just an animal. Isn't there a joke? A guy comes to the next world, and there's a long line. You know, there are different lines. A line going into Gehenna, a line going into Gan Eden, and this guy is sitting on the line going into Gan Eden. So on the other side of the aisle, the line going to Gehenna, the guy looks and says, "You? What are you doing? What are you doing on this line? You Russia?" So he says, "My wife told me to stand here." So they said, "Just because your wife says to stand here?" So they said to me, "You're right, but because in this world, I whatever my wife told me to do, I did. I was a good husband. I just followed orders. So my reward is that in this world, I follow orders. My wife told me to stand on this line to go to Gan Eden with her. I get to go to Gan Eden." I was following orders. So Rav Kalman is saying, Adam ubehema, toshia Hashem. You want to say here, maybe you want to say, you say a very wild drush. You're not going to hear this anywhere but in the morning kolal. Adam ubehema, you take this chazal, toshia here is a euphemism. This man who is arumim midas. The truth is, the Malbim talks, the Malbim alludes to this. We'll read the Malbim, a very, very beautiful Malbim we're going to do soon. That a man who is Arum Bidas, you cannot convince me that the word Arum Bidas means he was a brilliant tzaddik, a rashiva, a goyin. That's not what the word Arum Bidas, that's not the way the word is used. It means he's a shrew devil. Adam was a shrewd devil. Hashem told him, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. And the Pasuk says that he saw that it was delicious. Toiv lamar v'nechbad lahaskil. And he decided to make excuses to eat it. And then when he got caught, what did he say? What do you want from me? My wife told me to eat it. My wife told me, I'm following orders like a behemoth. I'm just a behemoth. So this is not a nice thing. So in this world, unfortunately, these type of people who manipulate and come up with excuses to do whatever they want, and when they get caught, they just say, I was just following, what do you want from me? It was an accident. A dime a dozen. V'gamani b'soichem. Dime a dozen. And these people, Toshia Hashem, in this context, the word Toshia is a euphemism. Hashem will get you. Toshia means will save you. How many times? Sage Nohar, the blind man, he has an abundance of light. He can't see, it's dark. What do you mean you call him a Sage Nohar? It's a euphemism. Toshia Hashem, don't worry, Hashem will get you. Hashem will come. Also, it's poetic. It's poetic, because isn't that what the shrewd person, like Mida Keneged Mida, the shrewd man, he lives with euphemisms. The shrewd man says he does all these complicated things. I didn't do anything wrong. Oh, really? So to Hashem says, I will save you. I will save you from Gan Eden to make sure you go to Gehenna. It's a euphemism. Toshia Hashem here is a euphemism. People that are shrewd, they're clever, we're wicked in a clever way, in such way that they won't get caught. Don't worry. And then they make excuses. I didn't do anything wrong, like Rashi says. Don't worry. Hashem will get you. The end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what your machshavos are. Hashem, his mishpat is Tohoim Rabbah. Tohoim Rabbah. You see people out there today who get high praise for their actions. Hashem knows the MS. I used to watch these airplane disaster episodes. So it's a very common theme. A very common theme in these airplane disaster is that when there's a crash, and the pilot miraculously saves everyone on the plane. He does maneuvers that mamash lamal lamederech hateva, everyone walks off the plane alive, in the middle of nowhere, and immediately thereafter on the news, he is a celebrity, and they give him medals and honors and all of these different things. They ride away, they praise him, they save their life, and then they make an investigation, and these investigations go on for years, and then the end of the investigation, they show, you know why the plane crashed? Because the pilot negligence. Because he did everything you can possibly do wrong, he did wrong. He was thoroughly negligent. And then when the plane is crashing, a miracle happened. He was able somehow to avoid disaster, even though the whole plane blew up and everything happened. And then he's a villain. So then just because you see in this world people are tzaddikim, you don't know, these people are very shrewd. They know how to manipulate everything in their favor, that, oh, he's a tzaddik. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his mishpat is tohoim rabba. Hashem knows the real story. He knows what really happened. And at the end, Hashem will give him what he deserves. A man who is shrewd, but makes excuses. I didn't do anything. I'm just like an animal. Don't worry. Hashem, Toshia Hashem, it's a euphemism, Hashem will judge him. I'm suggesting that's the Mahalach of Rashi, because Rashi takes the dark side. Okay, now we're done with the Mitzudos.
Three parts of this pasuk. One is as high as and then it goes to the Shaim, Mishpatech, Atechom Rabbah. Now we go to the middleman.
The Beinoni. He's saying a drush, a very nice drush. The Beinonim.
Like behave like a behema sometimes, or it's a luat behema. It doesn't
matter. He's saying a man.
Hashem will save them.
Okay, you're saying very good. The columnist is saying brilliant, because what you're saying, the Malbum really says what you said. What your columnist is saying is there is a species of humans called Adam Behema. There are people that are tzaddikim, and there are people who are rishoim. And then there are the Beinonim. What is define the Beinoni? A Beinoni is a ta'aruvis of a person who is Adam, great, noble. Let's go back to the good pshat, nobility, Adam HaRishayin, but sometimes from 9 to 5. and then from 5:01 until 9 o'clock, behema. This man, he goes off and he does terrible things. He just follows the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes, you know, during the day, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. There's a category of man. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're a behemoth. They're adab. There's a ta'aruvis. So you're saying very good. You're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with all categories of humanity. With the tzaddikim, the Rav Kalman. Chidush Rabbi Kalman. Tzidkoscha Kahariel. Kahariel, these are the tzaddikim. And then there's the Mishpatecha Tohoim Rabba. These are the Rishoim. And then there is a sug of humanity that is called the Adam Ubehema. Amo Adam? It depends on the day. It depends on the weather. Most of humanity is like that. And then there's a fourth category. Mayor. Whole different league. Okay, Vaita. Three different categories here. This is, so we have already so far three mahalchim. We have the mahalach of the Mitzvah Stavah that puts a positive spin on all this. The Mitzvah Stavah, he says, after when you get to Pasuk, you get to Pasuk Vav, you wash Netilas Yodayim, we're done with the Rishayim, and now we're going to talk about pleasant things, the pleasant way. Now we're going to talk about the Tzadikim, Hashem, Bahashamayim, Chastecha, all these nice things. Tzidkoscha, Mishpatecha, Toim Rabba, Hashem saves men. It's a nice mahalach. According to Rashi, we go down the dark road. There are no lights on this road. We take a dark path that the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu denies the world the blessing of Chesed and Emunah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tzedek is unattainable. Like a mighty mountain, Hashem's Mishpat is coming to get us. And I'm trying to suggest that these shrewd people who give excuses, like what Rashi says, don't worry, Hashem will get you also. The dark path, Rav Kalman's Mahalach, we are describing the totality of humanity, Tzadikim, Rishayim, and a sug of, and really what the Rav Kalman says is, what the Beinonim, what Rav Kalman says is rooted in the Malbum. The Malbum Mamish says that there's a sug of man. There is a kai. He says he used it in a different approach. We'll get to that in a moment. But there's a category of the Beinonim, and the way David HaMelech defined the Beinoni is with the words Adam uVehema. Sometimes Adam, sometimes Behema. Okay. Now we're going to see. Maybe first we should see some Mamari Chazal, and then we'll do the Malam at the end. We want to welcome from the Holy Land, from Bet Shemesh, Ramat Aleph, Ezra Fried, come on down. You're the next contestant on.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome from the Holy Land.
Emmanuel Yehuda Ben Shlomo Ilan Moreno, 35-year-old, the Lieutenant Colonel, was killed in the Balabak.
Zechus Yagin Aleinu. Someone who goes al kiddush Hashem, zechus yagin aleinu. Okay, here we go. Let's do one thing at a time. First of all, I like this Maamar Chazal. We're on page 321. To the Kasra Kahari El Mishmecha Toim Rabba. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok. I guess the same is the same Rabbi Yitzchok is the first Rashi in the Torah. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok. Mikra Seifrim, the Itur Seifrim. This pasuk is what is called the itur. Now, what does this mean? It means that we discuss this a lot. This is a Zalman Hen. We're not going to go into TikTok today, but there are words in the Torah that are not written. You're saying this is a tremendous chiddush. It's a Maamar Chazal. It's a Gemara Masechta Nedarim. Is that there are words and expressions in Tanakh that are not written according to the strict rules of grammar. They're not. Teferes HaLashon, exactly. And that is called, in the words of Chazal, the Itur Seiferim, the crown of the scribes. And you know, there are other, this part of this Chazal, something called Tikkun Seiferim. Tikkun Seiferim, which means sometimes the Pasuk is written in a way that should not give you the impression that there is another God. The pasuk is written deliberately with a shinui, not the way that is literally correct. Because if it would be written literally correct, it would give an opening to apikarsim to think that there's more than shtei rishuyos. Sometimes Hashem did not do that. Nase Adam, right? Nase Adam. That really, what was Nase Adam? Hashem consulted. Hashem asked the Malachi HaShoresh, should we together make man? So what happened? That gave apikarsim. It's more than gave. It created in the world. See, this is the thing. You see, the difference between learning it in third grade and learning it in kollel is how do you learn that chazal? It says in the pasuk, Nase Adam. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Nase Adam. Nase Adam sounds like that there is more than one God. There are multiple gods. Hashem has a they have a committee of gods, and they all Nase, they put forward a motion. Should all of us together make a human being? There's the God of the sun, the God of the moon, the God of this, and the God of that. All the gods sat down at the boardroom in Shemayim, and they had kosher food. They ordered kosher food for all the gods, and they had a discussion. Should all of us together make man? That's apikorsis. That's apikorsis. So why then did Hashem, what's the real pshat? The real pshat is Hashem, there's only one Hashem, and Hashem consulted with his creatures, with the Malachi HaShoreis, which are Hashem's creatures, and Hashem asked them, what do you think about this idea? Why? To teach humanity humility. To teach humility, that the Godol should be nimlach with the Katan. Don't just make decisions on your own, you should consult with your students. Now, so what do they teach us in elementary school? So it just means very nicely, it just means very simply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us a lesson. There's only one God in this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he allowed there to be in the Torah a pasuk, which apikarsim would come along in every generation. Oh, look what it says in the Torah. It says Naseh. So now we have Meshugoyim out there who are using this as a wedge to make trouble, because it says in the pasuk Nas Adam. Why did Hashem allow that to happen? Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just say Eseh Adam? So Hashem says it's worth it. There's a trade-off. It's worth it for me to allow Meshugoyim to come along in this world and say, no, there's more than one God. For the benefit outweighs the detriment. What is the benefit? My people, who are ma'minim b'nei ma'minim, will be able to look at this pasuk and learn humility. And that benefit for a small segment of the population, it weighs more by me than all the meshugoyim out there who want to go use this pasuk as an excuse to say there's more than one God. That's how they taught it to us in Yeshiva Ketana.
God does that more than one time by the
Tower of Right, okay, a few times. Nerda, let us descend. To teach, okay, so that, and this is Vasek. But there's a much more profound idea, and that is, when Hashem said Naseh, it's not just, oh, that there are people out there today, they're going to read the Bible, oh, look at that, they'll find an excuse. When Hashem said Naseh, what he did was, he put into this world a darga of Hester Panim. It's not just, oh, people who want to make excuses, they'll find the pasuk in the Torah. Torah is the blueprint of the world. By Hashem writing Naseh, he's adding into this world a depth in the human mind and in the Bria, Hester Panim. And that Hester Panim is in every one of us. It's not, oh, there are Meshugoyim out there who, when they read the Bible, they see this. Even if you never read this pasuk, you never ever looked at this pasuk, every single human being struggles with Hester Panim in this world, with trying to find Hashem because of Hester Panim, because Hashem in the blueprint of this world wrote Naseh Adam. It's very deep, and yet, It's zelumazeh. Because Hashem wrote Na'ase Adam, Hashem put into the blueprint of this world, into man, humility. Man, the etzem, has in him the DNA of humility because it says Na'as. It's a trade-off. It's not just a pasuk. People are people, and they're going to read the pasuk. They're going to go, oh, look at this. So a tzaddik will learn a lesson. Oh, you should be humble. A rasha will use this pasuk as an excuse. That's true, but that's a very shallow interpretation of the pasuk. The deeper pshat of the pasuk is to appreciate that the Torah is the DNA. It is built into the DNA of man, a struggle of Hester Parnim. Is there only one God? How could it be that there's good, there's bad, there's light, there's dark, there's toiv and ra? It's built into man's DNA, a struggle. Who put that gene into man? Hashem did. Nase. Let us. But you have to understand that gene that made life for us very difficult and caused us darkness and struggle, that very gene, there's a trade-off, is the same gene which gave man the koyach of humility. Humility. The gadol should be nimlach with the katan. And it's zeh l'umazeh. The more a person humbles himself, the more he's able to see there's only one HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ro'ish Moshe, anav me'oid mikol ha'adam ashal p'nei ho'adamo. What do Chazal say? U'mo Hashem lukecha shol me'imach, kim li'yira oisai. V'chi yira milsa zutrasihi. Is yira shemayim a small matter? So the Gemara says, in legabe Moshe milsa zutrasi. The question is a valid question. It's very hard to be humble. But for Moshe, it was no big deal. Why was it no big deal for Moshe? Because the ha'ish Moshe onov me'oid. A person, because anova, and seeing the yiras Elohim, there's only one Hashem. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elohim Hashem Echad. It's zelum hazeh. Because it's the same gene. The same gene of Naaseh, to teach humility, is the gene that teaches that creates a hester upon him. So if you're able to master the anova, automatically you've mastered that there's only one Hashem. It's totally zeh b'zeh. Okay, now we go back over here to this Chazal. Okay, so I got sidetracked just a bit because there's something called Tikkun Sofrim. Tikkun Sofrim is where a pasuk is written, although it said, we said Na'ase Adam. The opposite of Na'ase Adam is where a pasuk, if it would have been written literally, I forgot of the example, there are a few examples in Chumash, I don't remember them at this moment, is if the pasuk would have been written the way it's meant to be written, then we would make a mistake. Chas v'shalom, there's potential for problems. Therefore, the pasuk was written by Hashem with a tikkun. There was a correction. Who made the correction? Not the scribes. Hashem. Why is it called the Sofrim? It's a good question. Why is it called the Sofrim? It's because, I don't know, the Bible is called, when Hashem, the text is called Sofrim. But the one who wrote it was obviously Hashem. I told you this so many times. When I was in elementary school, I already came after that year, but Rabbi, there was a very choshev Rebbe, Rabbi Brulovsky. I've not kept up with him. I used to meet him at Beagle Eyes every so often, years ago. I haven't seen him in a while. Brulovsky, I hope he's okay. Okay, so he, in those days, we all had the Pentateuch. We all had the blue chumashim. The interlinear blue chumashim. Rabbi Baruch taught me that who was the one who wrote. Does anyone know who wrote the interlinear? Everyone here, I don't know if maybe you are. My day, there was no art scroll. And the Bible was the blue chumash. They were a little bit tall. the interlinear Chumash Rashi, before Mitsudais, before Art Scroll, there was the classic, every living creature lived and breathed the Chumash Rashi, the blue, interlinear. Okay, it was a classic. So who wrote it? By the way, who wrote it? So Baruch Horowitz taught me that you'd be shocked who wrote it, who participated in writing it. Rav Sheps, the Rosh Yeshiva Torah V'Das. What was his first name, Rav Sheps?
Because he was a brother-in-law to Rabbi Sharfman.
Rav Sharfman. Which Rav Sharfman is this? The Rabbi Ben Yisrael?
Shlomo Sharfman's brother. Yom Yisrael's brother.
The rabbi of the Yom Yisrael of Lapush's brother.
Still, his brother was Benjamin Sharfman, and his brother-in-law was Rabbi
Shep. What's Rabbi Shep's first name?
Simcha.
Simcha. Another name, and the next name was Aaron.
Simcha Aaron.
And he had a pen name, so he used his initials of his name in the
Chumash. Of Simcha Sheps. Aaron. When I first came to Rav Das, he was alive. I remember of Simcha Sheps. You know, so Rav Simcha Sheps is
his son-in-law Davin's here.
His son-in-law, right. His son-in-law is on 19th Street. He has a PhD from MIT.
Michael Greenbaum.
Greenbaum. He's brilliant. PhD from MIT. Do you know anyone that has a PhD from MIT? I don't. Get a PhD. And we're talking about, you got a PhD probably 50 years ago. Okay, today the whole world went woke. So if you're whatever, but in those days it was the real deal, the whole real deal. Yeah. PhD.
Rabbi Sheps's first name, I'm looking at the Chumash now. His first name was Yili Avraham. His name was Avraham Simcha.
Avraham Simcha.
So he wrote his name.
Avraham Simcha Sheps. Do they?
That was his pen name.
Who was his Rebbe Rav Sheps?
I think
Ochanan. Ochanan, really?
They say
that when those years, this is way before my time, but Rav Yosher Ber, he learned the Rambam, and Rav Yosher Ber said, no one in the world knows Pshat in this Rambam. It's a Shver Rambam. There's no one that knows Pshat in the Rambam. So they told Rav Sheps what Rav Yosher Ber said. So I don't know, yeah, it sounds much better in Yiddish, but I don't know the Yiddish. He says, and so in English, it doesn't sound so good. Is go tell the bear, Dove is a bear. Right. Go tell the bear that the sheep knows the pshat. Tell the bear that the sheep, the lamb, the shepsula, he knows the pshat in the Rambam. So he wrote the translation. He was a partner with Benjamin Sharfman. Everyone knows Rabbi Sharfman from the Young Yisrael of Lapush, Zichron Levracha. What was his first name?
Solomon.
Shlomo
Zalman.
Solomon. Solomon is not Zalman? I thought Solomon is Shlomo.
No, Solomon. Shlomo
Sharfman. Solomon, I remember him very well. He was a very edel person, very nice person. Humble person, and he made the Erev in Flapish. He made Rav Moshe helped him. Rav Moshe gave him the go ahead to make the Erev. He said, Rav Moshe says, I'll tell you how to do it. Okay, he was in very good terms with Rav Moshe, and the other Mishagoyim they made a little trouble, but Rabbi Sharfman and Rabbi Sheps wrote the interlinear, and there I remember the story that Rabbi Brulovsky, there's a Rashi in Chumash where it says this is a tikkun soifrim, and they translated Rashi in Chumash, and the way it was translated was very, very disturbing to Rabbi Brulovsky. I don't know, we have to go look what it says. The way they translated the words gave you the impression is that the Torah originally it said it this way, and along came the Chachamim, and they changed the text. That was the impression that Rabbi Brulovsky felt. Listen, Rabbi Sharfman and Rabbi Sheps knew what they were doing. chazaka she'ein chover yoytzei, it's not going to come out of takola from the hands of a chover. But for whatever the reason was, I don't know the whole story, that Rabbi Burlovsky was not satisfied. He felt that it gave the wrong impression that the Torah was originally written with this expression, and the Chachomim came along and they took their knife and they erased some words and they changed the Lashon so it should not give an impression for Apikarsim that it means something else. So he was so disturbed, he collected from a class of 30 boys all of their Chumashim and he took them home. And he very neatly wrote, he crossed out what it said in the Chumash, and he very neatly wrote his translation of Tikkun Soifrim, so a boy shouldn't chas v'shalom get the impression that Hashem wrote the Torah with version A, and the Chachamim made an edit and changed a couple of words in the Torah, should it not. Chas v'shalom, that's not what it means. The way it is written, the way we have it is the way Hashem wrote it. And Chazal are explaining that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he changed. He did not write it the way that you would expect him to write it, because that would open up a possibility for someone to make a mistake. And Hashem, in this context, in that context, did not want there to be such an impression. When it comes to Nase Odom, Hashem did not make a Tikkun Soifrim. But other places, Hashem did do a Tikkun Soifrim. Now, so therefore, this is all what is called a tikkun, an edit of the scribes. That is just an hagdam. That is we're much more familiar with. But there are other examples like this, and that's what this Maimer Chazal discusses Gemara and calls it an itur sefer. An itur sefer is if you go in class in elementary school and write an essay in Hebrew, the teacher would give you a failing grade because that's not the way you write Hebrew grammar. That's not part of the rules. The binyanim and the ovar, the hoiveh, the osid, and the prefixes, the suffixes, and all the adjectives and nouns. That's not the way you write. Yet, there are many exceptions in Tanakh. And these exceptions are deliberate by none other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not because there's a drosha, not because they may lead chas v'shalom to apikorsis. It's because it just has a better ring to it. The way it sounds, the way it's pronounced, the way it's read has a yoifi, a beauty. So when it comes to beautify the language, the expression, you know, sometimes you can cut, basically it's a gilui, the grammar does not need to be perfect. It's a tremendous chiddush, tremendous chiddush. Tremendous chiddush. Only Hashem can do it. Only Hashem can do it.
You had last week's parsha, one of the phrases, Ayonos and Solmos. What's Ayonos? It's Mayonos. But since the word before ends with a mem, so you don't want it swallowed up.
Exactly. So there are many things. You break the rules. You break the rules in order because it's called this. And this is sanctioned this by Hashem. You gotta be very careful. You just can't go do whatever you want.
No.
But Chazal say, I'm gonna be Yitzhak. Mikra Seifrim, Kamak, okay, this is part of a long list. We only focus on the Itur Seifrim. What does that mean? So it's a Tosefes L'Tiferes HaLashon. There is an additional letter that does not belong there. In elementary school, you would get a failing grade for adding that letter. But when the Ribbono Shel Olam does so, he gets an A+, because Hashem makes the rules. And to make the language more beautiful, it is Hashem sanctioned it. Litif eres haloshem. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Itur seifrim. What is in the Gemara? There goes a whole long list of all different types of edits. And one of them is called itur. And what is the poster child? The paradigm, the example, it is itur seifrim, this pasuk. Tzidkascha ki harirei el. What's the itur? The chof. The chof does not belong there. Mark, if you were in elementary school in Yeshiva Flatbush, and your Rebbe was Rav Kalman, and you wrote an essay, and you wrote Tzidkoscha Kahare, Rav Kalman would give you a failing grade. He would say the Chof does not belong there. It doesn't belong there. Tzidkoscha Harare. What's the Chof? Kahare Alhi Tosefes Litif Eres Halashon. Now this concept You cannot imagine how much weight it carries. I'll give you an example. A lul, again, buy an esrog. This is you go to the store and you buy an. There are two different types of people who buy esrogim. I see this all the time. Go buy an esrog. You look at the esrog, two esrogim. Are they both kosher? Yes. Are they both mehudar? Yes. We're dealing now with imperfections. We're going to discuss now that you can't even tell me that they're really hider. We're dealing with, like, you know, these fine points that are. One asterisk is mamish, perfect beyond belief. Kula yofer ayosi umum einbach. But you know something? It's just not so nice. I mean, it's nice. It's just not big. The blitois aren't, like, you know, really big. You know, you wouldn't give it a second look. Someone in shul is holding this esrog. You wouldn't want to be mishadech with him. Yeah. If you look at the esrog and you analyze under a microscope, you'll be blown away. It's perfect. But it's just boring. You ever see this type of esrogim? You go there, how much is this esrog? $400. What, are you joking? Yeah, for this esrog, $400? Yeah, look at it. Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. But it's boring. Then they'll show you another esrog. It's gesund. And you look at it, oh, you stop and notice. You stop and notice. Is it kosher? For sure. Is it muhudur? Yes, it is. There may be one or two or three or four or five teeny, teeny, teeny imperfections. Mark, which one are you going to buy? The cheaper one. They're both the same price. Well, yeah, they're both the same price.
If you didn't have the calf, it's influencing katcha. It's very difficult to...
The hay. The expression. Had to get out the hay after I chop. Okay. In order, the articulation. You're saying that the teferes halashon is the articulation, and not in the reading. The articulation, a way to express. There are many examples, but this example carry over to this concept. You have two estrogen. They're the same price. One of them is perfect beyond belief. There are no imperfections whatsoever. The other one is magnificent. And it's kosher, it's muhudur, A++. But you know, everything in this world has imperfections. The imperfections are really insignificant. Which one will you buy? So you go to the store, I've seen this all the time, there are two different types of people. There are people that will buy the boring esrog that is perfect beyond belief. That's what they want. They don't even have a havamina. They take it in a second. And there are other people that know. They in life, they want a little, you know, a little spice. And there's a trade-off. The spice in life, that it should be outstandingly beautiful, overweighs teeny, teeny minor imperfections. Because, again, it's kosher and it's mehudar, very mehudar. But, you know, there are teeny imperfections. Why? Because the yoifi is also a hider. Why doesn't that count for something? The fact that the other esrog is too perfect, who says that's a hider? That's a chasarim. That is rooted over here in this concept, is that there's an iter lashon. What do you mean? If you go, you put this in a computer. You see, this is where computers will never, artificial intelligence, will never, ever, ever succeed. Artificial intelligence is missing the concept of the itur sofer, which means you can be perfect, but you just missed the boat. You missed the boat. You can buy, see, but you know, the different strokes, different folks. Again, you go watch, I see this all the time. Also, I notice the same exact thing when it comes to safras. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the world of safras, and there's the same exact thing. There are people, they go to a sefer, and they show you a sample to buy a new sefer Torah, and the ksav is mamish perfect. It's perfect, every tag, every tenua of every letter is just perfect. But you know something? It just, it's missing something. It's missing some salt and pepper. And you have another ksav that's mohudar. Everything is there. The da, every little corner, every little knage is there. But it's not pronounced to the degree of the other sample. But yet there's a yoifi. It has a yoifi. So which one do you take? Do you take the one that every little detail is pronounced and it's perfect, but it's a little boring? Or do you take the one that's mohudar, every little detail is present, but not pronounced to the same, but when you look at it, I like it. You're gonna have to sacrifice a mashuhu of perfection. Well, you see over here, there is such a principle called itur lashon. You make mistakes. It's not ma'akev. You put a hey, ki hariel, it makes a difference. It's not ma'akev, but it's not perfect. According to the laws of grammar, Torah is perfect. Everything has to be perfect. It's not perfect. Okay, sometimes it's better to sacrifice being perfect in order to achieve a yoifi, a beauty, an ito, a crown. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to do that? Who says you're allowed to do that? Maybe the goal of the Torah is perfection to the utmost. And yoifi doesn't play a role. That's not a milo. That's not a characteristic which has to be emphasized. You see, from this chazal, there is such a thing. Now, where do you draw the line? I mean, this is a very dangerous game to play. Okay, Hashem can do whatever he wants. Who says we know how we're doing? Yeah.
What you said about Maaseh Adam there, Elohim is Rabbi. So it doesn't fit. So
you
said the whole thing.
Nasa. The whole thing is Nasa. Also,
Itur. Okay. See,
I'm a big fan of the Itur Lashon personally. I'm a big fan because the beautiful, outstanding Esrogim, I guarantee you will never get perfect. You'll never find the ones that are perfect are the boring, are the ones that are boring. Some will show you an Esrog. I know people like this. They always show me the Esrog. It's mamish perfect. It's like every year the same thing, Baruch Hashem. But it's like boring. Look at my Esrog. They look at you. I say, tell me, is this kosher? Is this mahudar? Yeah. It's mahudar, it's kosher. It's not like yours. All right, who's to say? I don't know. There are different opinions on this matter. You know, there is such a hiddur in an esrog that it should be beautiful. How much does that yoifi weigh in the criteria, the qualities of what the Torah wants from you? More, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is the Rotzayin Hashem? Does Hashem, what is, you always say, what is Hashem's Rotzayin? Does Hashem want you to have this Esrog, which is perfect, but it's boring? Or does Hashem want you to have this Esrog, which gives you satisfaction because of its exquisite beauty, but it's not perfect? Well, yeah, not perfect. I mean, what do you mean not perfect? It's missing an arm and a leg, you know? You know, that's already, you're crossing the red line. I mean, you know, if it's not kosher, it's not, if it's chaser, there's a shayla, forget it. No, it's 100% kosher, 100% mechuder. We're dealing over here with, you know, teeny little fine points, okay? It's rooted, I personally believe, it's rooted in this principle called Itur Lashon, Tikkun Lashon. Who makes the rules for other matters of Stam, Sifrei Tarek Tul Mezuzais, and when it comes to Shroigim and things like that, only Hashem knows. Only you need a Gedol Yisrael to really guide you on this matter. And the Chiluki Deis, I've seen a lot of Chiluki Deis. Okay, next Mem Chazal. Now to finish this up, look at the Mincha Shai. This is where the Mincha Shai is a field day on these type of things. Tzidkascha Kahare El Tohim Rabba Zechad Min HaMikroi Shekar Rabba Seinu Itur Seferim. Okay, Mincha Shai on the left side. Okay, then he goes, okay, that's all he says. And then he goes on to another thing. He goes, Mashakas of Haran, Bashem Rabbi, Demilas Kahare, Nifsak Bitam, Mimilas El. That's not our Mesorah. Our Yisilia, the Machlek is in the Mesorah. Over here in our Mesorah, it says Kahare El. It's like one word. There is no trap. There is no trap on the word harare. The trap of El goes back on both. So he says, Lo nimsa kein bisforeinu, that's not our tradition. Adraba, ipcha, sheyesh makav bein shtei milos. It's one word. Okay, in other words, the Ran over here is alluding to an incredible chiddush. That according to his Mesorah, tzidkoscha kaharare, kama. The word El goes on the next word. It could very well then be that according to the Rav, the word El is Kodesh. We shouldn't just say it loosely, it should be Kel. Kel, Ribbono Shel Olam, Mishpatecha Tohoim Rabba. You see over here, a nafkamina. I'm suggesting that according to the Ran, the word Kel is Kodesh. It refers to Hashem. And Kel is a lead in to Mishpatecha Tohom Rabba. Hashem, the Mishpat that you administer in this world is very, very deep. And how could you say the word Kel is an independent word? Whoever told you there should be a makaf, that connecting line on top, horizontal line on top, attaches the word Kel to Kehare, according to the Ran, Rishon, that he's quoting, that the Mincha Shai is quoting, the makaf is an error. There should be Ta'ameh HaMikra and Tzidkoscha Kehare, and then it should be Kel Mishpatecha Tohim Rabba. If you're going to put the word Kel next to the word Kehare, then it becomes a modifier. It becomes an adjective. Kehare El. El then means mighty. A mountain. There are many mountains. There are mountains that are weak and there are mountains that are mighty. Like a mighty mountain. Kehare El. That's when you put the makaf, and there's only one tam, only one musical note which goes for both. And the word El is a modifier of the word Kehare, and it's going to be choil. It's not going to be sacred. But if you go and you break the two apart, Tzidkoscha Kehare, your righteousness is like mountains. And then, Kel Hashem Mishpatecha Tohim Rabba. Now, I'm just thinking out loud with you, as Rabbi Mayevsky would say. And why does it say the Chaf? We just had a whole discussion that the word chaf is itur seifrim. I don't know what this means. I don't know grammar. I don't know all these rules. But perhaps maybe there's something to say is that if you would separate the word kehare from the word el, and you would take the word el and throw it upon the next part of the pasuk, mishpatecha tohim rabba, and that kehare would be part of tzidkoscha, my question is, maybe then we do indeed need the chaf according to the laws of grammar, and this would then no longer qualify for itur seifrim. If you say kahare el, I don't know the rules. Tzidkoscha, your righteousness, is harare el. What would happen if we would just say tzidkoscha harare? Maybe then, the only reason why harare does not need a chaf is because it's attached to another word, harare el. It leads in. It's like a lead, the patach is like a leading word. So the chaf is redundant because el, the combination of el creates the chof. Tzidkascha, ha'arayel. But once you take away the word el, and you just say tzidkascha, ha'arayel, something is wrong. Something doesn't seem right. Tzidkascha, ki'arayel. Then you do need the chof. So I'm trying to suggest to you is that these two statements of the Mincha Shai are totally zeh b'zeh. The fact that Chazal say that this pasuk harei el, the chof is itur loshon, Chazal in essence have told you that the word el is chulin, and the word el is a part of harei, and you must have a makof. It's one word. Tzidkascha kaharei el. What do you mean kaharei? Tzidkascha harei el. The chof is redundant. Oh, you're right. It's itur loshon. But if you would say tzidkascha kaharei period, and then kel mishpatecha tohim rabba, the chaf is no longer redundant. The chaf is needed because you don't have the gemar of el. Harei is a word the nikud is such that it leads into another word which closes the deal. If kel is not part of this expression, it's part of the next expression, then you can't just say tzidkascha harei. You're leaving me in the middle of nowhere, like you drop me off in the middle of the Atlantic. You have to land. So how do you land the expression? Tzidkascha kiharei. Oh, you've landed. You've taken off and you've landed. Your righteousness is like mountains. Like mountains, period. Kihari. So the chaf is no longer extra. If it's no longer extra, you don't have a raya of itur loshoin. However, Chazal say, no, this chaf is itur loshoin. By Chazal saying that it's itur loshoin, obviously Chazal understood that the word el is part of the expression. It really could have said tzidkascha ha'arayel. Why then is there a chaf? Oh, itur loshoin. And now the next expression is mishpatecha tohayim rabba. Okay, so that is a suggestion, a chidush in the Mincha Shai. Okay, now let us go back to listen to the Ma'amar Chazav, just another minute or two. We'll just try to finish off the Ma'amar Chazav very quickly, not all of them. Go to the second Ma'amar Chazal on page 321 on the bottom. It's four lines down. Amar Yehuda, shalach. What is a shalach? Zeh ho'oif. It's a certain type of fish, a bird, like a vulture. And it sees in the water a fish. And when it sees the fish, it swoops down, whatever it is, I don't know all these birds. It sees a fish deep down in the water, it senses it, and in a moment's notice, it swoops down into the water, grabs the fish, and runs away with it. That poor fish never knew what was coming. Could you imagine that poor fish swimming along? I'm safe. Who can get me? There's no one here. I'm underground. I'm in the water. How you talking? It's a beautiful day. I'm minding my own business. Beautiful water. I'm deep down in the ocean. And in the middle of nowhere? A bird 100 miles an hour swoops down in a split second into the water, chops me, pulls me out, and devours me?
That makes it not kosher also, right?
I don't know. That's a different story. The hashlach is not kosher. Hashlach, is a shlach kosher? Yeah, it's not kosher. It's part of non-kosher. This week's parsha. This week's parsha. Hashlach, this week's parsha. The bull of birds. How did this happen? This is the mishpat of Hashem. The mishpat, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to get you, He'll get you. Hashem will bring you where you need to be at the right time, the right moment, to be struck by lightning. Hashem gets, the mishpat is with the ultimate precision beyond belief. This poor fish had no clue what was coming.
I saw it in my own eyes. I was in China, and I saw a Chinese guy had an off like this with a very long pole, and he tied his neck, and he sent him to the ocean. He picked up a fish and he couldn't eat it because his neck was tied. Mm-hmm.
But he brought it back.
Wow.
You know what he did? He took one of these birds.
He gave him a
shirayim. He gave him a shirayim. At least that's nice. At least
it was unbelievable.
Wow. They take one of these birds and they tie their mouth. So when the bird gets the fish, the bird should not eat it up. So you just use the bird to get you, the bird brings the fish back. But at least this Chinese guy gave the bird some shirayim, a little tip. He gave him a tip. Unbelievable. Good morning, Rav Mordechai. Rav Mordechai Mintz, how are you feeling today?
Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem.
It could be worse.
Kerefu Shleima. Okay, let's finish up. Over here, this is what it means. The tohoim, that's the nishbat, is the tohoim rabba. Nachamol. Tzikos kar gariel kar Abba Rabbi Yehuda b'sholach zeh ha'oif. Hashoyle dogi min ayam. Rabbi Yehuda b'yachti ha'vichaz yish sholach amar. He would say, oh, this is a dugma mishpatecha tohoim rabba. Over here, the editor.
His name should be Hashalach, not Hashalach. Because
Sholeh
dagi min Shalach, Shin Lamed Hei. Shin.
Okay. Look at the brackets. The editor. Shezimanto shalach lechamis hadagim b'ma'amake hayam hamizumanim lamus. Hashem over here, he decreed a mishpat on the shalach, and Hashem sent this bird to execute the mishpat. Another example. Now you think about it, this is a drush, a tashlich. The Yamim Noiroyim is around the corner. You go to Tashlich. What do you see Tashlich? Fish. You remind yourself, Hashlach, even these fish that are floating around in safety and security, no one is safe. A bird can come out of nowhere and dive deep into the water and pull the bird out of the water and consume it. A person should never be complacent. Going to the Yamim, what could be? Another year, big deal. I did everything I'm supposed to do. Go to Tashlich, look at those fish. Are they safe? They're not safe. At any moment, a bird can swoop down. So alachas kama v'kama, a human being is so much more vulnerable. So much more vulnerable to Hashem's mishpat. It's a scary thought. Vaita, ki chavichaz in the mala. Now maybe you can help me with this means over here in the mala. The editor really says what it means. Okay, when he saw an ant, it says Maridukum Musa, you see a little teeny ant crawling on your countertop. How did that little guy get there? I thought we did. We paid the exterminator, the knas. Once you pay the knas to the exterminator, there's not supposed to be any creepy crawlers. A little teeny ant crawling around. How did it get there? Musa, Havi Omer, Tzidkoscha, your righteousness is kahariel, shafilu. It's amazing that you have a living a monster, a living creature. You have massive animals, massive things that are alive, even human beings, and even a little teeny microscopic ant has life. Life. Hashem, it's a Musa Haskel. Hashem gives life. If Hashem can give life to this teeny little creature. Hashem can give life to a human being as well. All right, we have to stop over here. Let's take a short break.